Hi, it's Monday morning. I want to say a few words about Rosh Hashanah now that I'm doing the Mishnayos over here. This is being sponsored anonymously by a good friend. And this will be for Refuah Shleimah for Shmaya ben Chayaleya. Again, Shmaya ben Chayaleya. Refuah Shleimah. And all the people in Israel from the Pigua that happened today in Yerushalayim. Right near where my sister lives, actually. I'm going through the Mishnayos over here and, you know, getting into Rosh Hashanah a little bit. And thinking about the shofar, and I guess you might say I'm in a little bit of a Zarya Figo type mood. So I'll tell you what jumped at me, which I haven't done before, and I'll get right to it. You know, the shofar, one of the funny rules about the shofar is that it has to be something that has an inside and an outside, and you remove the inside. I think you know this. Shofar Meloshin Shpoferis. So if you have the type of animal that it doesn't have an inside, it's just one big piece material, whatever it's made of, you know, like ivory or something like that, then it's not a shofar. In other words, I think you know this. If something doesn't have a zachrus and a nakrus, as they call it, in other words, if they don't have an inside and outside, then if I drill a hole through one solid piece of horn, even if I drill it in such a way that now it can function as a horn, it's not kosher, because it has to have a shofaris. Okay? So it has to have an inside and outside, and you remove the inside, and what you have left over is the outside, and the outside is what you blow. I've had, I have a friend or two that are part-time shochtim, and in the past, they gave me, like, from a little ram or something, you know, kaduach, that is to say, they didn't remove the inside, they just drilled a hole all the way through it. But that was still a kosher shofar, because the kind of animal it comes from is the kind of animal that has inside outside. In other words, they shechted a ram in this case, and they didn't bother to do whatever it takes to make the shofar. I think they boil it, whatever they do, they take the shofar, they take the inside out, and then you're left with the outside, which is what you blow. But instead, he chose to do it a different way and drill like a hole straight through it. But since the min, that particular type of animal, the shofar, is the type that you could do it to, so then it's okay. I think many people are familiar with that. The question then becomes, so this has nothing to do with a Karen and a shofar and all that stuff, is what the shofar has to be such an animal. Which is why there are a lot of animals, if you get down to it, b'dieved, that you can use for a shofar. It doesn't have to be a ram's horn, of course, and things like that. But and you see once in a while these weird shofars. But it has to be at least a type that has, that you can remove the inside, okay? The inside. So I'll tell you, it just struck me the other day. That's a funny rule. Knows why? Why does it have to be that a shofar is that? Why can't a shofar be anything that you blow? Unless, I mean, if you told me you can't use a trefa animal, meaning a min tmeo. All right, I guess I hear that. You know, it's a holy a ceremony. And, you know, it's Rosh Hashanah Yom HaDin, so you don't want to take the horn of a pig, so to speak, or whatever, I don't know, whatever they have. I get that. But why the emphasis on the shofaris part? Right? I mean, that's a little strange. And as I said before, it put me in a homiletical frame of mind, like a Zarya Figo frame of mind. And I'll tell you where it's coming from. Again, there's a din like that. According to Chazal, according to the Gemara, there's a din that has to have an inside and outside, and you remove the and the idea is you blow it by removing the inside, and you blow in the outside. You know what? That's it sounds in an audio fashion, because the shofar is the audio mitzvah. It's the one mitzvah has to do with sound, right? The min haTorah. So I can't think of any others. Now, here's the thing. Umaltim is Arles Levavchem. One of the main psukim that's coming up is where we're told to circumcise the foreskin of the heart. The Bris Milah, if you think about it, is like a certain chitzonistic manifestation of what's a panemistic thing, we hope. In other words, there's a din of Bris and Arla. I was just at a Bris this morning for Nathan's best grandchild. It was named after Herschel. And Herschel Goldman, and what's the pshat of removing the orla? So in the symbolic sense, it's you hope that that just like you moved to Arla, so of the Chitzonius, so to be the child will grow up not to have Arla's Halev. And over again, we had this din, Malta Misarlas Lavavchem. And you have to remove the foreskin of the heart, which is not literal because the heart doesn't have a foreskin, even though the cardiologists out there will tell me it has some kind of outer lining, but that's not what they mean, okay? When they say someone has Arla's Halev, that's talking about stubbornness, insensitivity, inability to change. This is what I mean by Arla's Lavavchem. Hagoy Marley Lev, it says. It's not referring to anatomy. It's a pasuk. Is it not referring to an anatomy? It's referring to a mental block, okay? Emotional block. It's the kind of thing where you do something wrong to me, and it's not the most outrageous thing in the world. Those are very hard to forgive. But you did something that you could forgive, right? You could forgive, but you can't. What do you mean you can't? You can't. And as God said, I will harden the heart of Pharaoh, Aniyachi Slave Paro. He doesn't mean anatomically. So what does he mean? I'll make him stubborn so he won't be able to change. He won't be able to say no. Or he won't be able to let the Jews go. Even though his mind, the seichel, the rational faculty, says let the Jews go because you're doing all these plagues and ruining the country. But mentally, emotionally, you can't do that. And this is the big impediment all during the year that we hope to get rid of whenever it comes to Elul and Rosh Hashanah, or all year long. What does Hashem call the Jews when he's in an angry mood? What's the right word? Kshei Oref. Same idea. You know, stiff neck. Meaning, you can't bend a neck. Really, you should bend a neck and you know, bow down to somebody, say, I'm sorry, or something like that. And they can't do it. Okay, now they can, but mentally, you can't do it. And therefore, one of the big avodas is to be malta misarlas lavavchem. If I remember correctly, I think the Rabbeinu Yonah talks about this at the beginning. Hold on one sec. Yep, I just pulled out my rusty, trusty Shaar HaYitshuv over here at the very beginning, like the second paragraph in the book, in the Shaar HaYitshuv. It says, Zarna al Shuba kam makomos, Shuma kubelos yashuv sarosov, viz barba Torah, this is the Rabbeinu Yonah, viz barba Torah, ki yazor Hashem lashavim, kasher ein yad tiv om maseges, v'yichadish bekir bamruch tahor lahasig malas avoso. Okay? So in other words, it says that, I'm reading the Rabbeinu Yonah now, that God will help those who try to repent, even if they can't do it in their teva, kasher ein yad tivam, hateva shalhem maseges. So even if, but teva they can't do it, v'chadish bekirbam ruch tahora lahasik malasavoso, and God will be mechadish in them. In other words, he'll change their mental anatomy, not their physical anatomy, their mental anatomy. So in those, let's put it this way. Me, myself, and I left to my own devices. I can't, let's say, change this habit. I can't stop this sin. I can't forgive this person. I can't. And a shrink will tell you he can't. You know what I mean? No, some people like that. For example, some people are hooked on the drugs, on the booze, and it's ein yativ amaseges. You know, I don't know how to get out of it. Right? They can't get out of it. And yet them. But, in spite of what I just said, if you try, this is Rabbeinu Yonah talking, not me. His barba Torah, ki yazor Hashem la-shavim, that if a person wants to do tshuva, shavim means somebody's returning. Shavim are people who are returning. People returning mean I'm taking a step in that direction of return. I can't go all the way. No, I can't. It's not in me. But I took a step. Even though I know full well I won't be able to get there. And I will discover, son of a gun, that I can get there. Because Hashem was mechadish bekim ruch tahora. As the pasuk says, v'shavta ad Hashem elokecha, it's coming up soon, v'shamata bekolo, yichol shenim tzav chayom. And listen to this. And I'm still reading from Rabbeinu Yonah. And it says, v'am b'gufinyin, umol Hashem v'slavavcha v'slavav zarecha l'haseg avoso. Isn't that something? So Rabbeinu Yonah says, talking about Elul, and talking about the tshuva, that the key word is Mol Hashem Zlavach Zlavach Zarecha, which means that this apostle talks about the fact that that people who want to repent or change, even if they can't change, but and they really can't, Ein Yativa Masegis, they can't, but they can. No, Hashem will make it that they can. It's a shtickle miracle or something like that. So it seems to me that this lies at the very center of the whole tshuva thing, and as Rabbeinu puts it right at the beginning. And we find in the Torah rule that when it comes to Yom HaDin, you have to do a funny mitzvah called blowing a shofar. No, you have to do a funny mitzvah called blowing a shofaris. That you take something, that you remove the inside, and all you have left is the outside. In other words, you remove the... It's an analogy to removing the foreskin of the heart. You're taking one thing and pulling it out. Now, in this case, it's the chitzonis that's left over. But the idea of separating one from the other lies at the heart of it. Because I'll say it again. Why should Ribono Shel Olam care what kind of horn you blow? Let's say, for example, as long as a kosher animal. I mean, a kosher species. You know, tahora. What do you care whether it's a shofar or other? I mean, the main thing is the sound. The best shofar in the world, if it can't blow a sound, it's not kosher, right? So if you have an animal that doesn't have this inside-outside business that you remove, but it sounds good, why can't you? It must be, it just struck me this year, must be that there's some reason, some symbolism, profound symbolism, that the Torah's insisting on a shofar and a shofaris, okay? So, I think that's onto something. And, as I said before, it lies at the very heart of this because we believe that the shofar has to do with tshuva. As the Rambam says, it doesn't say it, but it's a remez. Okay? It doesn't say it, but it's a remez. Shuvu yishin mi tirdaschem and so forth. You know that. And this became such a big part of Rosh Hashanah that they even came up with the custom of Tekiyas D'Miyosha, which has to do with L'Arviv HaSatan. L'Arviv HaSatan, as the Rambam is explaining it, and many others, has to do with the idea of Teshuvah. Notice it's not simply to confuse this Satan who's running around with horns. Although that is one shot, you know, there's no question that is a shot. You look at Rashi and Tosin, there is. But the larger one is the one about repentance, right? You know, Uru Shein Mishinaschem something Matirdaschem. As you know. And then, I therefore see, it comes interesting, once I put in this, put myself in this frame of mind, so then you already see we have Tekiyah, Shmorim, Truah, and Tekiyah. And again, I just happened to be seeing this the other day, because I do that Tosis on Lama Gimel, where he talks about the history of the Tekiyah Shofar. You remember that the Mishnah says that the Tekiyahs are as long as the Truah, but what's a Truah? So it's Rashi and Tosis. Rashi says, you know this, Rashi says the true is just 3, dot, dot, dot. And Tosa says the true is 9, dot, 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 like that. And you remember this? And by the way, this Tosa is quoted verbatim in a book called the Shulchan Aruch. Maybe you heard of it. If you look at Tuf Kotzadi, it's almost word for word. This Yosef Kari is almost word for word this Tosa, and which is interesting. And, you know, Tuf Kotzadi. And the thing is that they talk about the fact, once you get in the nitty-gritty of the laws of shofar blowing, which usually I don't like to get into technical stuff, but a little bit. Do you remember this? It says you have to watch out. The shofar shouldn't be too long, right? Because, for example, if the middle truah is dot, 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 then that took like a 2 seconds, not even. Dude, dude, dude. You know, that's like, how long did that take? And if I, and the tekiyah has to be that long. So the tekiyah has to be as long as do, do, do. So what's that? Tekiyah, do. I'm already yotze. That's a tekiyah. So you can't do the shvarim, Tosa says, the Shulchan Aruch says, according to that system, the Rashi system, because, you know, you can't do a shvarim too long, because if you hear marach and the shvarim, then it'll be like a tekiyah. I think it's well known. That probably, I've said this in the past, is probably why I imagine why the other system took off. Because nobody that I know does it the Rashi way, which is the truest, duh, duh, duh. But rather we do it 9, okay? So, if you look around, you'll see that one of the ways of getting around that problem in Jewish history, in the Torah literature, is to make Shmurim Shavur, something like that. So then you won't confuse it with a tekiyah, you see? It's not like if you do shvarim like 3 little tekiyahs, which is one way of doing it. Like, do, do, do. It says 3 little tekiyahs. So now you make it too long, it's a full tekiyah. But if you do in a different way, a funny way, like I've been around, you know, many Sephardic but the briskers do all, everybody does in different ways. It's hard for me to understand what they talk about in the shvarim. I say, two, poo, poo, shmoo, moo, but whatever it is. But you're trying to make it shavur. Well, then, the Torah mandates shvarim or truah. The Torah uses the word trua, but it's understood to be, in other words, as interpreted by Chazal, as we all know, it's shvarim trua, so which you have tekiah, shvarim, and trua, and tekiah. And, you know, I know we're not sure, but I'm just saying those are what you play with. And the whole idea is shvoferis, the amaltim is arlas of avchem. So the heart of the custom, the way it's developed, or the way it's understood from the very beginning in Midaraisa, is connected with tshuva. And it is interesting because the shvarim, especially, they evolved the idea of shavur, this broken sound. One way of maltim is arlas of avchem is shvarim is be broken. In other words, sometime events cause people to be broken, or their own contrition, if they're in a very high madriga, can cause them to be broken. You know, as a person can say, I leave, you know, what did I do? Again, it's all in the Shari Tshuva and places like that. You know, how could I mess myself over? And so on and so forth. I'm sure it's in there somewhere. I don't remember exactly where, near the beginning. How could I have ruined myself and all the rest of it? That's the kind of repentance that comes from introspection. You know, it's a Musar movement, you know what I mean? No, it's Navardic and so forth. You break yourself, right? You have a bad habit and you break it. And that's Shvarim, especially the way it evolved into Shavur instead of three little tekiahs, Shvurim. I think the Gra and the other, you know, you look in the in the Achronim, you'll see that this is how it evolved, which is just very interesting. And I'll tell you the truth, I saw the other day, I got that new Chayonim with the English, like last year, I bought it for the shul. I was looking at Tucker yesterday, and the guy has very good footnotes, I must say, I know who he is, and very learned footnotes, and they had a piece about that. But anyway, so you have the Shvoferis, and you do it through Shvarim. Another way is to do it through Trua. Trua is one of those words that's very hard to pin down because it means a lot of different things. And the Torah says, Yom Trua Yelechem. So there are two ways to understand, well, I mean, there's many, but there are two ways of understanding that come to mind to me. And one is you blow, the other one is you have a Hisaris, right? Yom Trua Yelechem means it's a day of Hisaris. That is to say, you know, you realize it's Yom Adin, and so on and so forth, whether you take it the upside or the downside, whether you do, as he said, Tshuva Mi'ava, Tshuva Mi'ira, right? The upside or the downside. And you change, you know, and you improve. But so Yom Trua Yelechem, you know, definitely means something like that. On the other hand, I know we interpret it very narrowly as a day of blowing a shofar, but since one of the things you blow is called a trua, meaning that this specific form of da-da-da or da-da-da-da-da-da-da came to be known in Torah Shabbal Peh as a trua. So it seems to me this year that, you know, it's that there evolved in Judaism this notion that the blowing of the shofar itself causes the trua, right? Causes the trua. That's what it's theoretically supposed to be. It causes the trua. So in other words, to repent not because of brokenness, but because of a hisoris, is a different derech. That works for some people, right? I'll give you an example. Take a modern BT. Somebody comes to Baal Tshuva. The world is full of people like that. When you're 20 years old, you're 30 years old, you change, and all of a sudden you become observant. It's not because some terrible incident struck them, right? Not the ones I know. Somebody decided to become a Baal Tshuva for this reason, for that reason. Something was ma'orer them, okay? Maybe they discovered a grandparent. Maybe they met somebody, you know. Maybe they've been a Chabad, a Shliach, or a Sameach guy, or something like that. Something was ma'orer them, and they really changed. So imagine there was somebody who was eating treif all of his life, and then all of a sudden he's not. It's not because some terrible zach hit him, and you know he came to look in the mirror and say, "Oh, I leave me kinyan mesi." You know what I mean? Like, what have I done? I've been matam myself with macholas asuras. Oh, terrible! This and the other. Now that works too. That's the shvarim root. You get it? And in nowadays, I would imagine most of the time you see people who are called bali tshuva, chozrim b'tshuva, and all the rest of it. I think it's from the true and not from the shvarim. I don't see something terrible and misfortune happening to them, or they become so Musar-like that they, you know, look one day in the mirror and they say, what has happened to me and how terrible, like that. I imagine the person I'm talking about, who's a tzaddik, is admiral. They turned their life around. Are they going back and thinking years ago, oh, yeah, when I was young, I ate a ham sandwich, all the rest of it? I don't know. I've never been in that position, but I imagine the person sounds like this. That was round one, and now I'm in a better place. You know? I'm not going to, you know, shoot my younger years and kill my parents and all the rest of it again. It was a different world, a different time, a different place. And I'm now in a better place, you know? And Baruch Hashem, now I'm on the derech, so to speak. I wasn't born on the derech. That's all. Okay. That's the trua. Now, in each case, so you see what I'm saying? At the very heart of it, Yom Trua Yelachem can be interpreted, as we all know, trua might be a shvarim, as Chazal say, or trua might be a trua. That is to say, what is ma'or you? Yom Trua Yelachem. What kind of hisaris are you getting on this first day of the seventh month, on this day we call Rosh Hashanah or Yom Adin? Is it from the trua, from the shvarim? Did something, you know, cause you to be shavur? Or did you have a hisaris? Okay, and in each case, it's interesting. It's accompanied with a tekiah, and tekiah, to me, means, you know, like a straight shofar blast. That is to say, something was me'orer you to change, either through the derech of shvarim or the derech of trua. But something happened, because the person I'm talking about, even a regular BT, didn't simply wake up one morning and say, you know, from now on I'm going to start keeping Shabbos. From now on I'm going to start putting on tefillin. It didn't happen. Something happened. Right? They read a book. They saw a movie. They met a girl. They went to an event. You know, they met somebody in shop. Everyone has their own story, as you know. Everyone has their own story. And I'll say it again. And it's admirable. But Malcolm Shabbat Shabbat, I mean, it said he can go to Kaleb. And I mean it. But there was a tekiah, something that broke the ordinary pattern of life. A sound, an event, or a book. Or, I don't know, you know, something on YouTube. Could be anything, right? Could be anything. Believe me, I've known so many weird people. When I say weird, I mean that what caused them to change was not what you imagine. You know, it's not like somebody said, I guess, I went to hear Victor Miller, and after that, I was a changed person. I'm sure that happened also. But, you know, I told you, I've said this before. I have a friend. I said, how'd you become religious? He said, I was in college many years ago and read a book that changed my life. And I thought to myself, what was that book? It was a Kitzur Shulchan in English. Okay. That's a little strange, but okay. The guy's Taka math and science guy. And so I guess, I don't know, right? Because believe me, he came from a very different background and so on and so forth. There are people that become from because they met the Dalai Lama. I'm serious. There are people come from because they saw Exodus, the movie. I mean, you know, each case there was a tekiah. What was the true of is a different story. Okay? So it seems over here, it's there. However, and here's really Gvaldik. What do we know? What does the Chazal tell us about the Din of Shofar? In Kibin Libo Yotzim, Lo Kibin Libo Yotza. So in other words, really, 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 it depends how observant you are, and I don't mean religiously observant, how observant you are in life. There are a lot of people, and I assume everybody, but I can't say that, they get tekiahs. In other words, let's say you're doing an Aveira, and you don't want to think about it, because you've accustomed to it, and you're very comfortable with it, which is usually the way it is with long-term Aveiras. You're very comfortable with it. You're not a bad person, but you have certain things that you're just hooked on, whatever. And something dramatic happens. I bet you it's not the first thing dramatic happened. It's just the first time you noticed it. You get what I'm saying? If you think about it, and I'll bet you, I mean, I can't bet, but I imagine that somebody who has repented probably thinks, you know, I really got my first, you know, message when I was 9 years old. I just didn't chop at the time. Or when I was 19, I just didn't chop at the time. When I was 29, I chopped. You get it? Because the same event that now has moved me to change, either become from or drop, stop saying Lashon Hara or whatever it is, I've had before. So there were tekiahs at various times in my life. But it all depends on kibin libi yotzes. Did you have kavanah? Did you notice? As we all know, this the din. If I'm walking by and I hear this shofar, lo kivin libo lo yatsa. Why? If it's the audio mitzvah, you heard it. As long as you heard it, that's good enough. Not true. Not true. You need kavana. Kavana in the sense you pay attention to the sound. That's what kivin libo yatsa is. I'm paying attention to the fact the guy's blowing, right? And the other way around, you know, kavana v'stam, as they all talk about. And it's very interesting because, as I say before, if you think about it, and it made me think today, yesterday and today, if you think about it, there are a lot of tekiahs out there. Perhaps a person in his or her older age or middle age can look back with regret and say, you know, I had a lot of tekiahs, I just didn't pay attention to them. When I was 30, this happened. When I was 32, this happened. I got sick, I got this, or I had some crisis, or I don't know, whatever. Well, I heard a good speech, I heard a good fart. Whatever the case is. It worked, and what do you call it? But it didn't produce a true. It wasn't a yom true yelakim. You see, so the Torah says you have to take a shofaris, you have to maltim sorlas levavchem. But the way you do it is by yom true yelakim, by paying attention to what's around you, and then you get the hisoris either through the shvarim or through the trua. Either through something that makes you be shover yourself, break the old habits. Like I say, that's the, I guess you could say, the Navardic way or something like that. You know, in other words, you can, well, you know, that's a big machlokas. You know that. You know, can you change a bad habit? Can you break a bad midah? And, you know, the whole Musar movement, everything, I had different schools of thought on that, as we all know. And some say you can do it. The only problem is, it'll come back the next time. Well, you do it again. And your whole life consists of a melchama. And Adam, Lomel, Yulad, and the heck with it. You know, that's what you go with. And so isn't it interesting that you see all these sorts of things inside the mitzvah shofar? And that's not the totality of it all. But for some reason, it never quite struck me this year again. I've seen different drushes in the past, you know, in the historic drushes literature. They talk about these sorts of things a little bit here, a little bit there. But this is the way it came together to me. Now, there's more on this, but I don't want to take too long. So I'll just thank our anonymous sponsor. Maybe I'll do another one. I hope, Mirz Hashem, later this week or next week, I'll do another one on the Tekiah Shofar part, because there is something interesting to me on another aspect of the Shofar, which is straight versus curved, that I haven't talked about in the past. But meanwhile, let's leave with this. Again, I want to thank our sponsor and say that we hope that this will be a chutz refuah shlema for Shemaya ben Chayalei, I think it was. And with that, I wish you all a good day.